The only Bibles would you turn to John's first letter. John chapter 2, verse 3. John chapter 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that if we know him, we will keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Amen. It's a question that I think we've all asked, and it's a question worth asking. Hopefully we've been able to answer it. Am I a real Christian? Now we know that there are plenty of people out there who say, well, I'm a Christian, and they mean that because, you know, they got baptised as a small child, they can't remember it. Or if they have to affiliate with any world religion, it might as well be the local one. There will be other people who genuinely have some Christian belief. They believe in the gods, for example. Just like the devil. They believe that going to church might be a good thing. They might even believe in the Trinity. Okay. There will be other people who go even further than that. They attend church regularly. They sing hymns. Some of them might even preach. But even they might not be really converted. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians that fierce and savage wolves are going to come into that congregation, even when he goes. I think of the Apostolic Church as being the purest and the best, the blueprint or the model upon which we ourselves ought to be based. And yet Paul was saying, even in that day, savage wolves were already pawing the ground, ready to infiltrate the Ephesian church. And so it is a question we ought to ask, because there are many, as I often quote, who have a form of godliness, but it's a powerless godliness, it's just a piety. So John begins, now this we know, that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then he contrasts it with a person. I suspect he has somebody or some bodies in mind. Somebody will say, well, I know him, but they do not keep his commandments. Such people are liars and the truth is not in them. So if we really know him, if we really follow him, if we really fellowship with him, there will be evidence of that in how we live. We are not saved by how we live. But if there really has been a work of grace in the heart, there will be an impact on how we operate, on how we conduct ourselves, on how we speak, on how we think, on how we deal with others. Now there are many who claim to know him today, who, like the old Vicar of Bray, if you know the poem, will adapt their theology and their ethics to the world's prevailing wind. Why is it that so many denominations, for example, have redefined marriage? It just so happened that within the same decade that Parliament chose to redefine marriage, that they opened up their Bibles and thought, you know what? The Bible does support it after all. How remarkable is that? We've been around for 2,000 years and we never spotted it, but now our eyes have been opened. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. How we act and how we behave, whether we base our lifestyles upon God's revealed words or upon what the world happens to think is acceptable at any given time is, I think, a litmus test as to whether we truly know him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Interestingly, the kind of folk who like to adapt their theology and their ethics often talk about God's love. They believe in a God of love. A God of love. A God of love. A God of love who never condemns anyone. A God of love who embraces all without repentance. A God of love who flings wide open the doors of heaven without a cross. Such a God of love is an idol. It's a man-made deity. You could build him out of brick or wood. He would make him just as real. Of course, here, John often speaks of the love of God. He's already said that we ought to love each other. That too is a hallmark of genuine and sincere Christian faith. But here he is linking to the love of God in our own hearts is linked to our obedience to God. When we were growing up, many of us obeyed our parents in this or that, not because we actually thought their decision was right and proper, or that we wanted to do it, but out of love for them. And John talks about the love of God being perfected. It's an interesting expression. It's certainly a phrase which the holiness movement picked up. Perfect love. When your love for God is so great that you want to and you desire to keep his word. And keeping his word in the first century and in our own is often costly. But our love for God is proven by our obedience. Not just obedience in those areas which the worldly wise men would find acceptable, but in those areas in which he would find them unacceptable. Remember, John's opponents are not advocates of a new way of marrying people, but of trying to marry Greek philosophy to the gospel. And there would have been people in this congregation who, because they were worshipping and living for a crucified Messiah, they would say, what kind of God is that? What kind of religion are you giving your life to? And the Gnostic teachers were making it more acceptable, making it more presentable. Oh no, it's all compatible with Plato. But John is making it clear. If we really are children of God, and we love God, we will walk obediently. If we know him, we will keep his word. And in our obedience to him, the love of God is perfected in us. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. The he, of course, is Jesus Christ. John literally walked with him. But here walking is not just a cheap mode of transport. It's a word to describe how we live our lives. When I was growing up, we'd often talk about my walk with God. And it's a good expression. If you're a Christian, you are walking. Not just to Jesus Christ, but also with Jesus Christ. And also as Jesus Christ. As he walked, so we walk. So let me go back to that original question, which we ought to ask. Am I a real Christian? Well, I'll confess there are bits of my life which I'm afraid do not quite meet his expectations. Does that mean I'm not saved? No. But it means that now, having identified them, I ought to address them. The person who doesn't know him neither identifies those areas of their life which are not right, neither are they troubled by them. So I believe I will not be perfect until I die. But I'm not going to use that as an excuse to not improve or seek to be more better or more greatly sanctified. Because the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the action. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments.